Luke 16, I'll read two verses in a moment. This is a parable. You know, there are 10 parables here in Luke that are not in the other Gospels. The Good Samaritan, the friend at midnight, the barren fig tree, the lowest room, counting the cost, the lost coin, the prodigal son, the widow lady, the pounds, and here the unjust steward. 10 parables only in Luke's Gospel, and this is one of them. Verses 1 and 2, "And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man, which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he'd wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." I invite you to keep your Bible open for a few moments tonight. And we're thinking on this subject, a time to answer, a time to answer. That's what we see in these opening verses that I just read. There are two main characters in this parable. There's the rich man, and then there's his steward, his servant. The rich man represents Jesus Christ, and the steward represents you and me. Now, the Pharisees will be deeply offended by this parable. If you read on, you see that. They're very offended by this sermon, for they're very covetous, and they know the Lord Jesus is speaking to them. But Jesus preaches the truth anyway, even though they are highly offended by His parable and by His sermon. We're not going to look at all the details of this parable. This steward here is commended not for being dishonest. He is dishonest. He is commended, however, for his prudence, for his foresight. That's what's commended. The Bible never commends anything wrong, but he is commended for his prudence. Now, I remind you what a steward is, and then I just want to emphasize one thought tonight. A steward is a manager. A steward is not an owner. The Bible always calls us stewards. It's one of our Lord's favorite words. I turn back a page or two to chapter 12. I want you to hear Jesus use the word again. Verse 42, "And the Lord said," this is Jesus speaking, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season?" So a steward is someone who administers the property of somebody else, a manager. And if the manager allows someone to take care of his property and his goods, then that means that the manager trusts him. You wouldn't just turn over everything to somebody you didn't know, somebody you didn't trust. And so the owner is placing trust in the character of his steward. He is placing confidence in the integrity of his steward. It means, I'm trusting you to do what I would do. It's a big business being a steward. We're all stewards. You see, a steward can do much harm or it can do much good. Perhaps the best example in the Bible of a steward is Eliezer, Abraham's steward. He's named, and you remember he's the one who went and found the bride for Isaac. What a humble man he was. How prayerful he was. How worshipful he was. He's an example of a steward to you and me tonight. Every Christian should realize, I'm just a steward. I'm not really an owner. God's the owner. All that I have rightfully belongs to Him. And He's trusting me to use it for His glory and for His purpose. If we just realize that, but many times we may believe that, but we don't act like that. We act like the sinners do many times. You see, a steward seeks the will of his master. In everything he asks, what would my master want me to do? What would he do? What would be the best thing for his business, for his land, his farm? What can I do for his advantage? A steward is not thinking about himself. Now that's not easy to get in that mindset. We're not born that way. We're definitely not born that way. We're born to seek our own will and our own way. But that's not how a steward thinks. He thinks, what's my master's will? But did you notice in this parable that this steward has done wrong and he is called to appear before the owner, the rich man? The Bible says, he called him, verse 2, said to him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Give an account. Do you see this man, this steward, standing before his owner? Well, he wasn't a slave, really. But standing before the rich man, the farmer, and he's rendering an account. You can read the rest of it. He's going to explain what he's done and why he's done it. But I want you to look beyond this man in the parable, and I want you to see you. And I want to see myself one day doing exactly what this steward is doing. He is answering for what he's done. He is rendering an account to the rich man. As Robert Murray McChane said, Reckoning Day is drawing near. We don't want to think about it. But we would be better Christians tonight if we would live in the light of this fact that one of these days you're going to stand in front of our Master. Remember Gehazi, servant of Elisha? He coveted after Naaman's wealth, garments, chased after him, told a lie, came back to Elisha. And the Bible says that the servant stood in front of his master. Where have you been? Didn't my heart go with you? I can't believe what you did. You lied and used my name. And he was struck with leprosy, was he not? He stood in front of his master. You need to quit worrying about standing in front of other people. You are going to answer to Jesus. Sure as the world, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans 14. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. There is an appointment, just you and Jesus. You're not going to be able to buy your way out or get anybody to come in and represent you. There's no lawyers that you can get. It's going to be you and Jesus. And the Lord's going to say, as He said to this man, give an account. Answer. Explain. The great auditing before the eternal judge. We need to live in the light of this coming day. Every manager is liable for his decisions, is he not, in this world? Isn't every trustee, every administrator? Don't they have to answer to somebody? Aren't there consequences for every decision? How much more every spiritual trustee, steward, manager, all of us without fail, how much more we're going to be accountable? We're ill-prepared. We're ill-prepared many times. Multitudes are guilty of wasting. Wasting their time, their property, their minds, their resources. They have been given so much, but used it to so little advantage for their master's cause. If God's given us much, He expects much. Now, what you did before you got saved, thank God that's gone, that's under the blood. But what you've done since you got saved, that's written down. You're going to face that again. I know we don't want to think about it, but we better think about it and we better get ready for that day. We're ill prepared. Many even who claim to be Christians live without thought of God or thought of others or thought of an accounting day. You'd think they just believe you live and die and that's the end of it. No, sirree. If God gives you time, He expects you to use that time. If He gives you some talents, He expects you to use those talents. Treasures, time, talents, they're all given to us as stewards to use wisely for the cause and the will of our Master. Jesus said, "You call me Master and Lord." He said, "You do well, for so I am." Then He also said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" If He's our Master, then we ought to treat Him that way. People abuse their health, abuse their opportunities, abuse their influence, abuse their body, abuse their soul. Folks, you're a free moral agent. Do what you want to do. Just bear in mind, as Solomon said, you'll answer. I'll answer. Maybe we'd be a little bit more careful, a little bit more spiritual, a little bit more prayerful, a little bit more patient if we'd remember we're going to have to explain it to Jesus one day. Do you know tonight, sinner, that you're going to have to explain to Jesus one day? Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Then shall they say to me, Lord, Lord." You see, it's going to be Jesus and you, and you're going to have to explain why you rejected Him. Some will say, "Lord, Lord." Jesus said they'll try to explain. They were religious. They cast out demons. They did wonderful works. Jesus said, "I'll profess unto them, but I never knew you. You never were saved." Then Jesus said there'll be some who'll be speechless. Remember the parable of the wedding garment? The man had no garment. The Lord confronted him and he was speechless. There will be some sinners at the great white throne, a separate judgment, who will be absolutely speechless. They'll know. There's no need to say anything. No need. They know that they turned down Jesus. What else do you expect? Their name's not in the book of life. There's the book of all their sins. They will not even try to excuse. They'll be speechless. So it's not just the Christians who are going to give an account, but it's every sinner and therefore every person who... Are you hearing me tonight? I'm telling you upon the authority of this book, every person who has ever lived from Adam to the last person will stand individually in front of Jesus Christ and give an account of your life. Some of you wouldn't be so haphazard and careless if you would remember from time to time your accountability. You're not going to have to answer to the Baptist church or denominational headquarters or your mom or your dad or your husband or your wife, but it's just you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus. Maybe we'd live a little higher, try a little harder if we'd remember this truth. It's all going to be brought out in the open. Jesus said some will receive a reward. He said some won't. Wouldn't be right, would it, if everybody got the same reward? You know every Christian's not the same. Some care and some don't care a bit. Some are faithful, some are not. Some are spiritual, some are carnal. Are they not? It wouldn't be right if Jesus gave everybody the same reward, and He will not. He said some lives are made up of wood, hay, and stubble. They'll be burned up. The motive was wrong. It was selfish. He said some will have works of silver and gold and precious stones, and they will abide the fire. And if any man's work abide the fire, he'll have a reward. The fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. You see, God not only sees the deed, He sees the motive. He knows what you did, and He knows what nobody else knows. He knows why you did it. Even if you do a good thing for the wrong reason, it's lost, it's done, it's burned up. It was selfish. Jesus said, "You got your reward. You got your pat on the back." Oh, I just wonder how many crowns we'll have. Or if we'll be ashamed. I don't want to face Jesus ashamed. He's been too good to you. He's been too good to you. You ought to be in hell. He's been too good to you to be a sorry, haphazard, careless, unconcerned stumbling block to somebody. been too good to all of us tonight. Paul called himself a steward of the gospel. So are we all. It's your job to proclaim it and to live it. Every Christian's job. Who's going to do it if we don't do it? The angels? You think Jesus is coming down here to preach the gospel? No, you'll do it or it won't be done. In Jamaica years ago, a communist stood in the city square and was preaching communism. He said, "Communism will put a new coat on every man in this country." Then, thank God, a preacher stood up and said, "Well, maybe so, but Jesus will put a new man in the old coat." That's what we need. That's what we need. We need some new people. We need a new heart. We're not going to live right till we get a new heart. Then we can sing a new song. You're a steward of the gospel. I'm closing shortly. Don't waste the master's goods. Don't seek your own will. That's not what a steward does. Jesus talked about this judgment day for believers in the previous chapter, chapter 14. I don't have time to read it. Here's what he said. He said, when you make a feast, he said, call and invite the people that can never return the favor, the blind, the halt, the maimed. He said, do good for those that can't do good for you. And then he said this, and thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. In other words, Jesus said, I'll pay you back. Do for those that can't do for you. Of course you invite people to your birthday party that invited you. Of course, even the world does that. Well, what have you done that only a Christian would do? And Jesus said, I will pay you back, recompense you, reward you one day. Or are we just living like the sinners? A lot of times we're just living like the sinners. You're good to me, I'll be good to you. You're mean to me, I'll be mean to you. Yeah, you're a great Christian, aren't you? No, you're not. You're just like the world. Is that right? You're just like the world. Jesus said, do for people who can't do for you. And I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. Mays Jackson was in a service. The preacher was taking up an offering. He encouraged people to give every penny they had in that offering that night. Brother Mays said, I did. He said, I really was going to buy me a hot dog on the way home. And his driver did the same thing. Came and gave every penny he had. Brother May said, we didn't get our hot dog. We both gave every penny we had. He said, but somehow we had enjoyed our ride home. He said, I felt full the whole way home. Did you just ever put God to the test? Did you? Did you ever just live by faith? Did you just ever give God a chance to operate it? I mean, what has God got to reward you for? We're stewards tonight. I don't know how good a job we're doing, but we're stewards. We need the attitude of the little girl. Her name was Emma, and she was dying, and she said, Granny, here's all the money I have, 48 cents. She said, put it to the Sunday school, quote, I want Jesus to have it all. I want Jesus to have it all. You say, that's nothing. 48 cents, that's all you got, and you give it all, you gave everything you had. It's not the amount. The Lord's not looking for that. It's the percent. And first of all, He wants you, because when He's got you, as it says of the Macedonians, they first gave themselves. Till God has you, everything is hard. Everything is a chore. But when He has you, then nothing else will be so hard. I remind us all tonight that we're going to give an account of our stewardship one day. We can't change the things we've ever done. I hope we can learn from it. I hope we can do better. I hope we can have a crown to lay at Jesus' feet. I hope we can be a blessing along life's way. I heard Brother Devon say we could all have a crown if we really wanted it. Is it in your heart? Are you just going on your merry way and hoping it all turns out okay? And you're just kind of floating down the stream like any old dead fish can do. If that's your attitude, you need a wake-up call. Because when it's just you and Jesus, you ain't going to have nobody to hide behind. Sinner, when it's just you and Jesus, what are you going to tell him? What in the world are you going to say? Are you going to say, well, Lord, I never heard the gospel. I never heard of you. Didn't have a Bible. Wasn't no churches where I lived. You won't be able to say that. And Christians, you're not going to be able to say, well, Lord, I didn't have a Bible. Didn't have a church to go to. No. We'll be without excuse. We'll be completely without excuse. We're very close, I feel, to a judgment day. Are you ready for the judgment day? Stand with me tonight, please.